So these are the barriers. This really, honestly, the patriarchy is the primary barrier between us and our ability actually to meet our own needs. Feelings. Just gonna pause, take a moment, start talking about the solutions, because I have two solutions. Let us recognize that it is normal to be frustrated, enraged, or even despairing about the enormity of the barriers that stand between us and our own self-care. I want to normalize that sometimes the path to peace goes through rage. That is normal and healthy. The problem is not the rage itself. It is getting stuck. It's getting trapped. And how do you not get, well, rage is stress. It's the fight response, right? So when you are feeling that, do all the things that you know complete the stress response cycle, because that's, you're just being stressed by the stupid patriarchy. Ugh. And so you, even though you have not yet fully dismantled the white supremacist, heteropatriarchal, rapidly exploitative late capitalist culture that tells you that you are a machine, that you're a tube of toothpaste to be squeezed empty and discarded, you haven't gotten rid of that culture. You can take wildly, gloriously joyful care of yourself and the people you love. We're going to actually, I think we only have time for two. Antidote. So first of all, remember who the real enemy is. If you are familiar with the Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen, our heroine, she's required to volunteer to go into a game where children are in a glass dome and they are required to fight each other to the death until there's only one remaining. Children are recruited from each of the districts in this near future dystopian world. And at a certain point in the story, Katniss's mentor says to her, Katniss, remember who the real enemy is. So she goes into the game, she's got her bow and arrow, that's her weapon, and she's being hunted, and she doesn't want to kill anybody, but she hears a noise and she turns, she's fighting for her life, and somebody says, Katniss, remember who the real enemy is. And she takes her bow and arrow, and she does not shoot the guy, she shoots up at the dome. Because the real enemy is not the other children trapped in this game trying to kill her. It is the system that trapped them all here in the first place. The real enemy is human giver syndrome and human winner syndrome. It is the idea that we are not allowed to take care of ourselves and each other, that we are required to compete with each other instead of caring for each other. So when somebody, you come into work and you're like, you guys, everybody, y'all, I got 9 hours of sleep last night. And somebody goes, oh, that must be so nice for you. I was up until 2, remember this, baking the cupcakes for Becky's birthday party, but self-care is so important. Good for you. Remember who the real enemy is. She's trapped in the game too. That person has been taught the same bogus rules that we were all taught. And we are all of us just trying to get free of this system. Remember who the real enemy is. Second, the bubble of love, which is primarily composed of trust and connected knowing. So this is chapter 6 of Burnout. And the bubble of love is the place where you can go, where you are surrounded by people who care about your well-being as much as you care about theirs. Not as much as you care about yours, because you have been taught not to care about your well-being. People who care about your well-being as much as you care about yours, where you can come home from a long and difficult day and it shows in you that you had a long and difficult day and nobody says, what's for dinner? Do you want to have sex tonight? Can we go out to my friends? Instead, they say, you look like you had a really long and difficult day. How about you go take a bath and then a nap? We will cook dinner. You can come down when you're ready and we will all sit around and talk about our feelings. Talking about your feelings is actually genuinely healthy and good for you. So the bubble of love is that place where you say, I've got a really big day tomorrow. It's important that I get the sleep I need. And everybody in your household helps you to prioritize your sleep. Somebody takes over putting the kids to bed, if that's a thing. Somebody takes your phone away from you and says, no, your sleep really matters. I will take whatever phone calls come tonight. There is no emergency that matters more than you getting the sleep tonight. Because the cure for burnout ultimately is not and can never be self-care. It has to be all of us caring for each other. The solution to human giver syndrome and human winner syndrome is surrounding yourself in a bubble of people who refuse to accept that you are a tube of toothpaste to be squeezed empty and discarded, who believe that you are a divine and beautiful spirit that deserves love, confidence, joy, curiosity, play. And there is the extra special bonus that I sort of slightly hinted at. You don't have to do the magic trick strategies very often. A little goes a long way, but oh, is it transformative and powerful? The magic trick is combining stress response management, stress cycle completing strategies all into one, moving your body in whatever way feels glorious to you in time, in rhythm, toward a shared purpose. If you play on a sports team, moving your body in time toward a shared purpose. If you participate in worship services, that is often moving your body in time through prayer and song and dance. Participating in political activism, marching, moving your body in time with other people for a shared purpose. Dancing. Swing dancing has been my thing for a long time, moving your body in time with another person for a shared purpose, in this case, just creative self-expression. You don't have to do much of it, but any amount of it is like the power move against burnout to complete stress response cycles and to heal the wounds inflicted by the long-term sustained clutching on to incomplete stress response cycles that the world tells us we're not supposed to have. One more thing. Nobody is really allowed to have sadness in this human giver syndrome, human winner syndrome, and it's a very important emotion. Sadness and its sister loneliness and its mother grief is the bat signal emotion. It is the ultimate emergency call. In the movie Inside Out, Joy, which is in the greeny yellow dress, figures out the purpose of sadness, that people come to help because of sadness. And I, like so many of us, was taught to hide my sadness away, to put a smile on my face, to go to my room until I could get over myself, right? A lot of us are taught that it is weak and it makes me feel so bad when you feel so bad. Put a smile on your face, and we prioritize other people's well-being. We pretend that we're fine so that other people will be fine, so that they will not go away. But sadness is the ultimate connection emotion. It is a form of loneliness. Feeling like you're not enough is a form of loneliness. It is your body calling for connection. It can be with other people. It can be with animals. For some people, that's a safer place. It can be connection with the divine, connection with nature. Sadness in particular is the beacon emotion. It is the bat signal. They came to help because of sadness. Just yesterday, Lama Rod Owens, who's a Buddhist teacher, posted on Instagram, if you are sad, offer it to the ancestors. And I, as a white lady, thought, my ancestors want nothing to do with my sadness. My ancestors would have told me to suck it the fuck up, to get over myself and keep working. Don't I realize how lucky I am, how privileged I am? We don't want your sadness. And I realized that's why I have so very much of the sadness. It's because they clung to theirs in their bodies. They did not permit themselves to reach out in connection in that moment of sadness. And because they did not permit themselves to reach out, they died with it in their bodies. They passed it down across generations. So all those generations of grief, sadness, loneliness, feeling not enough are inside me too. So I have all those generations of sadness to process, and I mostly deal with it by connecting with my actual sister, who is, we have not yet heard from. So hopefully she's totally fine. I believe she's totally fine. The point is sadness. When you feel you need more discipline, you need more kindness. When you feel you need more grit, you just need grit. You need to work harder. What you actually need is more help. The cure for burnout is not and can never be self-care. We need people to cooperate with us. The cure for burnout is all of us caring for each other. As you're looking at your calendar, your 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where could you use some help? Remember who the real enemy is, and integrate connection with your bubble of love. This is my conclusion. I learned that it's good to have these from Amelia, who has a degree in education. Wellness is not a state of mind or a state of being, but a state of action. Burnout is caused by the accumulating incomplete stress response cycles in your body. It's not the stress that's the problem, it's the getting stuck. So to cure burnout, you complete the cycle, and you're going to need help with that. Key strategies are moving your body, sleep, and love. A near universal barrier to completing the cycle is some combination of human giver syndrome and human winner syndrome. To defeat those, remember who the real enemy is. It's not the person in front of you. It's the system that you're trapped in. And the bubble of love, which is the place you go where people are not playing by those broken games, rules. And I have a whole big Moana metaphor that we don't have time, but you should watch Moana from the point of view of here's a trauma survivor who's traveling across her own internal experience to confront the damaged part of herself. Just saying.
We do have time if you'd like to go into it.
Okay. Okay. So Moana is a Disney movie. It's a problematic because it's a Disney movie. Moana is the daughter of her village's chief, and she is chosen by the ocean to cross the horizon, find the demigod Maui, and restore the heart of Te Fiti. The heart of Te Fiti is actually this glowing green stone with a swirl at the center of it. She's chosen by the ocean, and so she does. She crosses the horizon, she finds the demigod Maui, she has the heart, and she faces her last worst enemy. Now, if you're doing like a Jungian story analysis, like dream analysis, you consider every character as a part of the same person. So Moana is the main character. The ocean is a part of her. Maui, the demigod, is a part of her. And her worst last enemy is a part of her. It is this lava monster called Te Ka, the lava monster. And here we are at the climax. And remember, this is all a metaphor. Moana is traveling somewhere inside herself to go confront the most difficult, you know, your inner critic, the mean voice that says terrible things to you that you would never say out loud to anyone else, or even want other people to know that there's a part of you that says those things, the damaged, the traumatized part of you. Anyone familiar with internal family systems is going, do you mean a firefighter or other protector? Well, yes, I do. So what Moana does is her superpower is that she can see below the surface. And she notices that there is a swirl over the center of the chest of Te Ka, the lava monster, that matches the swirl at the center of the heart of Te Fiti. And she realizes she holds in her hand the heart of her own worst enemy. And so she says to the ocean, let her come to me. And the ocean parts, and Moana strides toward this huge lava monster that's been throwing balls of lava. And as the ocean parts and she strides toward, the monster crawls toward her. And she says, I have crossed a horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. Imagine turning with that kind of courage and compassion toward the most difficult inner critic, the mean, most hurt part of yourself, saying, I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know who you are. They have stolen the heart from inside you. They have hurt you in all kinds of ways, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. She puts the heart in the center of the chest of Teka, her worst enemy, and the ash crumbles away and emerges Tefiti, the goddess of life and abundance. And this is what it happens inside us when we turn toward our most difficult parts with courage and compassion, and kindness and curiosity. We can unmake our own worst enemies. And if you think I'm reading too much into a Disney princess movie, maybe, but the title of the movie is Moana. The name of the main character is Moana. Moana is the Maori and Hawaiian word for ocean. She is called by the ocean to confront this terrible enemy. She is called by a part of herself. She is the one calling herself to go on this mission into her own soul to confront this enemy that is destroying her and her whole existence. It's in the lyrics of the song, and the call isn't out there at all. It's inside me. It's like the tide, always falling and rising. Watch Moana, looking for the trauma survivor metaphor. They weren't hiding it. It's not like they were trying to make it subtle. So that is the third strategy for dealing with, for overcoming the barriers to using the strategies to complete the stress response cycle, is dealing with your own inner critic, the part of you that beats the crap out of you for daring to take the, oh, so selfish time to get the amount of sleep your body requires to sustain life.